Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It was from death to life last Sunday, and it's from death to life again today. First, in the valley of dry bones, what could be more dead? There was death in that valley where God sent Ezekiel by his Spirit. And not just death, but despair and fear and hopelessness, because the dry bones stood for Israel. Israel in exile, Israel in despair and with no hope. Israel that had forgotten about God's help and figured they were doomed. And that was wrong, because God had never lied to them, had never been faithless with them. They had been faithless with Him, and He had still promised to help. And yet they were in despair, dead. And then there was life. And the Spirit of God was spoken through the prophet Ezekiel over the dry, dead bones, and what was dead came to life. God brought Israel back to life through that word of the prophet. And He brought life into that dead, dry, desperate upper room where the disciples were gathered too on that first morning, or on that first evening of the first day of the week, that first Easter. Dead in despair, with a dried up faith, because they had forgotten that God is faithful, they had forgotten that God keeps His promises. As far as they were concerned, their God was dead. But then He wasn't. He wasn't dead as of that morning of that first Easter. He was alive again and appeared to the women and to Peter and to the two Emmaus disciples. And as word started reaching the rest of Jesus' disciples, life started stepping into the room, until life Himself stepped into the room. Doors locked, didn't matter. Nothing can stand in the way of that person, of that life bringer. Nothing. He stepped into the room and spoke the word, "Peace be with you." The Son of Man was crucified, but now is risen from the dead. Peace be with you. You all doubted and replaced the faith that I gave you with despair. But now, peace be with you. That's a powerful word when it's spoken by the Son of God Himself. He is the life bringer, the one who brought life to the dead world, the one who brought life to the dead, dry bones, the one who brought life to His disciples. It's a powerful word when the Son of God speaks it, but here's the thing. That very Son of God who speaks the word of life says to His disciples, "As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." And He breathed on them, just as God prophesied or told Ezekiel to prophesy to the breath, which is the same word for spirit. Jesus breathed on His disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from any, they are withheld." And so the very word of the Son of God is now spoken through the word of people, because He's authorized it, He's commanded it. And if you would believe in Jesus at all, if you want to believe that there was a Jesus who died on the cross and rose again, then you have to believe His words here too. That His word of peace and forgiveness is spoken through people, through men, authorized by Him to speak peace in His name. You have to believe that this is how He speaks to you today, through His word, that brings life. In this way, Jesus wants to come to you today, not with the personal, visible appearance, but in the words of those whom he has sent. It's the same life, the same power, the same forgiveness. He gives forgiveness. He gives authority on earth to declare peace to repentant sinners, to wipe away sins, and to bring the dead to life with a word. There's great peace and comfort here. There is literally death all around us, and fear and despair and hopelessness. You know that very well. But here is life stepping into the room, stepping into the world. Life given out through words. That's it. Not through how you present the words. Not through how convincing anyone is. Just the words. The words that bring life. Jesus lives. Peace be with you. And those who believe are comforted. And whoever does not believe will be condemned unless the Lord of life brings life to the unbelieving before it's too late, as he did with Thomas. Stubborn Thomas. Whose fault was it that Thomas didn't believe the testimony of the women and of the other apostles and the two Emmaus disciples? Whose fault was it? Whose fault was it that Thomas didn't believe the words Jesus had spoken before he died, that he would rise on the third day? None was to blame but Thomas. Stubborn and unbelieving, stubborn and needing to be convinced by what he could see, by what he could touch and handle. I won't believe unless I see. That's death. That's despair. And fear and hopelessness. That's unbelief. It all goes together. Fear and unbelief. Despair and unbelief. Now maybe you've disbelieved and lashed out at God like Thomas did. Even lifelong Christians can fall into the grievous sin of despair. But your despair or your disbelief doesn't change the truth. Jesus was crucified, whether you believe it or not. Jesus paid for every sin, including the sin of disbelief. Jesus was buried. Jesus rose from the dead, whether you believe it or not. He lives, he reigns, he keeps his promises. He loves his saints. And by saints, I mean you poor sinners who look up to him again for mercy. So you might as well believe it. Do you really want to experience the shame that Thomas felt when Jesus came into the room again the week after Easter, the Sunday evening after Easter, walked into the room and said, "Peace be with you," and then right to Thomas. "Put your hand here. Put your finger here. Put your hand here. Do not be disbelieving, but believing." The only thing that kept Thomas from running out of that room in shame for doubting and disbelieving the words of Jesus and the testimony of the apostles was the word of Jesus, "Peace be with you. Believe." And then where there was unbelief, there was faith. Where there was doubt, there was confidence. Where there was death, there was life. They go together. And Thomas did what faith does. It confesses, "My Lord and my God." And then it's almost as if Jesus looked up from that upper room back there in Jerusalem so long ago, looked up and looked across time and space and looked right into this room. Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Those words are spoken for you who have not seen and yet have believed. You are blessed. And you need to hear these words over and over again because you don't get to see in this life and your flesh hates that. And the devil likes to remind you of what you do see. You don't see the risen Jesus. You do see sin and pain and suffering. You do see temptation. You do see the persecution of the world. You do see all kinds of evil and wickedness all around you. So you need to hear these words over and over again. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. Because otherwise the devil will get you to forget God's faithfulness, that he never lies. The devil will get you to forget his kindnesses and his faithfulness to you and the sacrifice of his son on the cross for you and the fact that Jesus lives and isn't dead and loves you. But God has left us a witness here on earth that's just as good as seeing Jesus. Just as good as seeing Jesus, even better than seeing Jesus. Because how many people saw Jesus and still disbelieved? Better than seeing Jesus is the life-giving word of Jesus. The Spirit of God testifies today. We talked about it on Good Friday. We heard the words again today in 1 John chapter 5. The Spirit is the one who testifies because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. The Spirit of God not only brought life to the dead world at the creation. The Spirit of God not only brought life to the dead bones in the valley with Ezekiel. The Spirit of God not only brought life to the apostles, but today the Spirit of God still brings this life. As he brought it back to Thomas, he brings it still here through this testimony. And what is the Spirit's testimony? That God gave us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Believe His testimony about the risen Lord Jesus and the life He gives and the forgiveness of sins He gives. Believe His testimony in the water that you were washed clean of your sins and nailed to the cross and raised with Christ through that baptism. Believe His testimony given in the blood of the sacrament, that it was shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. If you won't believe that, then you're making God out to be a liar, and that's foolish, so don't do that. There's plenty of death already all around us, and despair. And it spreads like gangrene throughout this world of ours. But life is given too in a place. Life is given in a place, in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus comes in a place, in His life-giving word alone. And His word is enough. These are written, John says, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in His name. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.